Welcome to the Insurance Dudes.
Oh, man. It was so exciting. My hat flipped off. That's how excited I am. Awesome. About this
like taking off a roller coaster and watching that countdown.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had to do a retake because we said a word that we're not allowed to say.
So, F word?
Well, after rookies.
It kind of. We were told that, you know, we'll get sued if we say a certain name. So we won't say that name.
Karen.
Are we allowed to say that they said that? Or
Karen. Was that it?
Karen?
Is it Karen?
It was Karen.
Well, we'll say Karen. Great. I said it six times.
So I work for Karen.
Yes. Yeah. Hi, Karen.
Insurance Dudes are on a mission to escape being handcuffed by our agencies.
How? By uncovering the secrets to creating a predictable, consistent, and profitable agency sales machine.
I am Craig Pretziger.
I am Jason Feltman.
We are agents.
We are Insurance Dudes.
Well, we have Mr. George Carbonell here on the show. George, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody? You've been on a couple times, but it's awesome to have you on here. You're an incredible agent and a really good friend. So it's great to be hanging again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I know it's been a while, but just, I guess, quick intro. Been in the insurance industry since 2012. I've been working for the same company, large captive carrier. The last 5 years, I've been an agency owner. Started scratch, and over the last 5 years, we've built it from zero to nearly $14 million in that time frame. So a lot of work has gone into it, a lot of ups and downs, but it's been a fun roller coaster, and excited to keep chatting about it. And I appreciate all the support you guys give me and the rest of the community.
Love it, dude. Well, you give just as much support back. I really wanted to do this because I was excited. We all three talk randomly throughout the week or month, and I thought it would be really cool to kind of do a round table where just the normal conversations that we normally have about our agencies and stuff, just why not record them?
Yeah.
So
we're going to have the carbonated corner every so often.
Yeah.
Is he down? Are you down, George?
Might be onto something.
Might be onto something. I was calling it the carbonated sandwich because he's in the middle here.
He's on top on my screen.
Oh, well that's not, let's move on.
Well, cool. There's so much. So George is in Ohio. That Craig is in Arizona. I'm in California, and there are a lot of changes. And there's always changes. You know what's funny? I was talking to an agent within the last month or two, and we were just talking about like just the changes in general, that it's never not going to change. So when agents are complaining and we're frustrated that, you know, the ball gets moved, it's always moving, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I would say like the best trait to have as an agent is being adaptable, you know, not holding too much to the way it was done even last year.
It's tough because it becomes emotional, right? Like, and it's difficult to have a logical view on the thing if you're emotional about that change. And so I think being aware of it when it happens, right?
Yeah.
It could get kind of crazy. And I think that it has gotten a little crazy lately.
Yep.
What do you think, George?
I think it's important, not just as a for the agent owner, but to be able to lead the way for your team too, because they see how you react to things. And we can take it away. We can get news, whether it's carriers shutting down in your state, or rates, or RMP underwriting changes, et cetera. Like, what we project out to the team is what is reality for them, right? So we can internalize that, try to have control and figure out how to manage through it, and then filter it for our team is really what makes a difference in the operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. And as agents, we always, dude, I know like it's hard not to have a poor reaction to things, especially when it's affecting the bottom line. You ramp up your team and then all of a sudden you can't sell in your state, which I know a little bit about. But with the emotions, it is important to, filter and to have the output that you want from your team, like give them the output that you want. So it's important to keep face and be conscious of the way we're reacting to things.
Yeah.
And it's a good point.
The challenge, right, is in our positions and what we're doing, we're at the top of it, right? So there isn't anybody manning the emotional control of us, right? Like if you're at a job, if you're working for a company, you can't behave like that, right? You're going to get fired. But here, you're just going to lose your team, which is, I think, higher consequences. But sometimes, I mean, I know over the course of my career here, there have been many times where I wish I hadn't said things that I'd said that really didn't help, right? And it's just venting. I mean, we all vent, and I think it's important to vent, but probably not anywhere near the team, right?
Yeah. Dude, I just had this response. It was like a week or two ago, they changed a rule out here in California and changed some of the requirements, minimum things and all that stuff, which completely changes our business model. And I was pissed. I talked to another agent. Another agent told me the news, and we were both like cursing like sailors for a moment there. But then within the next 30 minutes to an hour, I grieved. And then it was like, well, damn, like I only have one of two options. Go this direction, follow what I know that we can do. Think about in the past of like all the assets that we've built in the past, like all the, I don't know, all the opportunities that we have, using those things to go forward in this direction, or go the opposite direction where we're going to die. So that was it. And then post that, it just changed my attitude, because it's like, all right, it's just game on. Like I have to do this. Like it's going to be good. And then I talked to the team after that about it, and I kind of pumped them up about it, and they were actually excited. And there's some, you know, new opportunities and stuff. So it's just focus on the opportunities. Screw the stuff that's not that you don't like about it. Like focus on the stuff that you do like, the opportunity. And like after that conversation, I was actually pretty stoked. So I kind of changed. But yeah, at first I was pissed.
So if I ask a couple questions about that,
sure,
because I think this could be beneficial. So you got pissed. Talk about that. Like where did you get pissed and how did you get pissed? And I know the answers to some of this because you called me.
Yeah. It was in my office. But my office with no employees around.
Okay.
It was just that. And then I had a conversation with you, a conversation with somebody else that is not on the team, and then another agent.
There you go.
And I vented to you three.
So there goes the anger.
Yeah, that was.
Then the sorrow and grief came.
It was also kind of working it out.
Right.
Because it was like, well, pissed about this, this, this. The only way this is going to get better is if we do this. It was like I was figuring out how to solve those issues as we were going.
Right. And what is it? Anger, sorrow, denial?
There's no denial. There's. It's like.
No, that's a river in Africa.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I kind of need the anger to fuel the fire to like,
right.
Get my butt moving. So it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Well, we were talking about how we wake up in the morning. Like, it's like you could have a little anger at the end of the day. You're cranky, tired, get a good sleep, nice workout in the morning. And it's like Groundhog's Day. All good again, you know, and that's important too, right? Having the right headspace. So that's why I was talking through that. I mean, I've had it where in my career, like I came through Merrill Lynch where it was a little more old school. Some of the guys there were like had been, you know, stockbrokers back in the day. And there was one day where I dial in and like one of the guys comes out of his office. I'm in the bullpen. He comes out of the office and he points across to the compliance officer, everybody that signs off, and he goes, "F you, Joe Palacio." He just screams at this, and he threw his phone across, like over our heads. I see the phone fly it across and it smashed against the wall. And he denied, like he said, no, it was like $1 million VA that he would have got paid, you know, I don't know, 30 grand or 40 grand on some, whatever it was. I don't know. But he was pissed, and that was how he handled it. And I thought, wow, that was pretty gnarly. I don't think that's a good idea, you know? And then moving forward, I think I did have one that was not quite as bad as that, but I did throw something when everybody came late one day and I kind of lost it. And I thought, am I doing the manager of the baseball team right now? And am I rallying him by this? Or is it the opposite? And it's like I was at Merrill where I was freaked out because, you know? And so I think it probably... is likely never a good idea to have the meltdown in front of the team.
No.
Craig, I was you said back in the day, so a phone throwing. I'm just picturing back in your day, it's got to be the phones with the briefcase, and it's like that whole thing.
No. They were the ones
that's always thrown across the office.
You crank it, and you have the thing on your ear. Like, hello. 989.
He ripped it off the wall.
I ripped that whole wooden phone off the wall.
Oh, that's good.
Have you seen those? You might be too young. Like the old, like, I mean, they didn't operate when I was a kid, but my grandpa worked at the phone at the telephone company. And so he had these old phones, and they were like the ones you like from the '20s or so. I don't know when it's from 50s.
Yeah. My grandma had the dial one.
Yeah. We had like, those.
Where you spin it. Yeah.
Yeah. I could be your grandma.
Yeah. You
could. I mean, it's 2024.
2024. You can identify as my grandmother.
Well, I am your grandma.
That's good. What's going out in Ohio?
A lot, but not as much as Cali in terms of carrier and stuff. But yeah, a lot of underwriting stuff. I mean, they've updated things here over the last couple of years as carriers start to restrict the amount of business that they're bringing on, obviously for profitability pressures. We get why they're doing it. But we were talking about it before the call started. It's just how do you keep your team motivated, right? Just the ups and downs and training is so much more important because you're going to win back in the day, like a couple of years ago, you're 6 months of continuous coverage. You're writing everything. Now there's tighter restrictions. Prices are more expensive. We really have to hone in on the value. We talk about it every day. It's about building a wedge. So either A, clients are going to come with you or prospects are going to come and tell you all their problems, or B, you have to help them identify the problems they didn't even know they had. And then you got to double down on that, right? Start to build that wedge between what you're trying to show them, what's better coming with us versus what they have today. If we don't do that, we're not going to win any business. So it's just a continued evolution, continued training and development, just something we're continuing to focus on right now. But yeah, we're getting there. But yeah, I'm happy with my team's progress. We got a lot of new people. So yeah, it's fun.
It's funny because when I first started, I was always worried about the price. If the price went up or we weren't as competitive, you know how you're like certain carriers, you're like, oh, not that carrier. We're so much more than them. You get so worried about it. But as we matured as an agency and, you know, once you learn more of the skill of being able to like build that wedge between, you know, the value and what they currently have and don't have, because most people are kind of clueless with their insurance because most insurance agents don't explain that much to them, right? I think like the less scared of it, and I actually have gone the opposite direction. We went up 30% in Cali and took, we were the first ones to take a 30% rate increase. I don't know if we've ever had a 30%.
That's a nice raise.
Well, what's crazy is there was a proposition in 1987 that only allowed us to go up 6.9% every time you file here in California. But
6.9.
Because of the 2020 and the state commissioners, well, I won't call them names, but that's a position that basically it's a fake position that they use as a stepping stone for higher up positions in the government. Gotta love the system, right? But he didn't allow anybody to go up since 2020 for years because of the whole thing. He was like pro people instead of pro, you know, businesses actually turning profit. So all the companies lost money out here. Geico pulled out of California, and like none of the auto carriers were profitable. So then he allowed us to go up, and then he allowed us to take this 30% rate. Most other companies are going to do it, but as as it's always been out here, we take the first 30%. So the team's a little worried about it, but like I'm stoked. It's a race. All right.
Great.
Two, I believe in profitability. Every company has to be profitable. So, I mean, I understand that people empathize with the consumer, but dude, you have to make money, right?
Well, like, you have to not go bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, you have to not go bankrupt. Right.
I think it's more than being profitable at this point. Like like they're in a fight for their life, right? Like against the big boxes. So, yeah.
But here's the huge competitive part. I know this is that if everybody goes up, and everybody's fighting this price thing and every agent has to sell on value, I know we're going to be one of the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most agencies suck at it.
So it's interesting because it's like, so the way that you've described it is it's similar to the difference between day trading and investing, right? Like if you're day trading, you're every day you're playing the market. You're trying to time the market. You ought to beat the system. Well, that's the same thing, right? If you're doing it versus the long-term play. So it's just the carrier knows they have all the analytics, right? We know from making all the dials, like when you have 100 million dials of analytics, you have some information that you can make decisions off of. They have billions of data sets, right? And so from that, they know, take a 30, great, we're going to lose this. And they know how much they're going to lose. It's all predictable. So they know what's going to fall out the back end. Whether the agents scramble or not, it's not going to make any difference. Like we've sat through big rates where we got on the phone and called everybody or proactive. It didn't matter. There was no significant difference. So all that time and effort and energy, it's all been accounted for. That isn't going to impact. So why are we trying to time it, right? We don't time it. You don't time the market. Why are we going to try to time the pricing? Like they're like the Fed, right? The carriers like the Fed changing rates and then boom, there you go. So yeah, stay the course and just be consistent, right? If we're consistent with the process that gets results, then we can just control the inputs. It doesn't matter what the carrier does, right? It doesn't matter what the prices do. If people are buying less because we can't sell because it's just that bad and the value doesn't even work, fine. You got to buy more leads. I mean, that's the solution, right? It's one or the other. Like it all works out in the math. And that's what I love about like just bringing it out to the math, because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. All this other crap that everybody's always complaining and talking about and worried and concerned and this and that, none of it matters. None of it. Right. And we waste all our time on it. That's the 80%. Yeah. The 80% of the time that we spend waste that generates 20% of the results is that. Right.
That was a mental note I took at the end of last year was, I know when we talk about it all the time, like focus on what you can control, right? But it's so much easier said than done. And you want to be the best and you want to compare yourself to others. Last year, really just a couple months ago, I made a commitment to myself to run my own race. Worry about the people within my agency and my customers, right? And just take ownership of that and just build off of that. Just get rid of all the other noise outside of that, right? Just put my blinders on and just run my race. I can't stress about other factors. And I just, you know, I got a family to feed and I got families to support, right? Within my agency, I take a lot of pride in that. We have 20 employees, right? Think about 20 families. Like yeah. You got to continue to invest in the machine, be consistent, like you were saying, and it's going to pay off. There's no scenario where if you are consistent and continue to invest in your business, that right. At the end of the year that you don't come out better for it, right?
100%. Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday. Jason and I were talking about that exact thing. It doesn't matter what you do. Everything works. Mm-hmm. It's just like at the if you're consistent, it works.
Everything that, can work. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it going to work and be the most effective thing if you do, you know, if you do all live transfers? Probably not. That's going to be more expensive, right? Like at the end of the day, there's something that has a better cost per sale. But yeah. If you're consistent with it, it will work, right? If you're consistent with mm-hmm. mailers, they do work. I mean, George, you did it. It worked. But you don't get much back on your investment in the way, you know, from your experience. And that was my experience. I know that some people have done great with it. They were probably more consistent, right? And then they figured out the little nuances.
I love what you said about run your own race. It's so funny. Like we do compare and all that stuff. And I like for years, I was sprinting with the agency, trying to grow and made, you know, a bunch of decisions looking back that I wouldn't do again. Then there's also like the ego part of it, like building it up, trying to get, we got best in company and all this stuff. And like we're sitting really well. And we've taken a couple hits the last year. I mean, clearly with the carrier stuff with the, in California where we couldn't really sell anything. So we had to adjust the agency and what we're doing in the agency. And it hits the ego, but it's like, I shouldn't try to compare against, you know, monetary or even, awards, like, or what other people are doing, like that. That's where you can get really sideways in the head. So that was one of the takeaways that I've had in the last couple of years is, and I actually think it was a good thing to be kind of like taken back. And then the other thing was the way we built the team before, there was a lot of good, but there was some stuff that I might have let slide when it came to even culture in the agency, that like I thought that I was building one thing and it kind of turned into another thing. And there's definitely some stuff that I let slide that I would never let slide now. So like, even if you make more money in the agency by doing one thing and it ethically, everything's great. I mean, it wasn't not ethical, but it was just, I wasn't proud. Like there was times that I was super proud of the team and other times where I might have let some stuff slide, still ethically, but like just the kindness in the, you know, like between the top tier guys and the middle guys and, you know, what I let, you know, days off and just all kinds of stuff between it. I would have done it differently. And I wouldn't have let I would have let some of the best team members go way earlier, even though it would have hurt a little bit monetarily. And I actually think in the long run, it would have helped business. So I think the way I approach the building of it now is different, where before it was all maths. And now it's like I want a place where not one single person doesn't want to be around each other, because including myself, because like not those days of not wanting to show up or not wanting to deal with people or all the stuff that can happen is just not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Not if you're playing the long game. If you're playing the short game, whatever.
So how are you going to structure that? Let's, you know, you're in this place now where you haven't been able to write business for a year.
Yeah.
And now they tell you in a month, you are now have goals.
Yeah.
No team. You got rid of everybody, just like all the other agents. And so it's the same problem everybody has, and we can laugh and it sucks and all that, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So now what? What's the plan?
Yeah. So we move sales manager over to the iDudes. So then that's one salesperson gone. And then we don't really have any salespeople.
Yeah.
So what we did. Yeah. So then there was somebody else that when he had the sales management position, there was somebody else that almost got it. And we've kind of stayed in touch here and there. And I just reached out to him and I said, you know, like we're about to do this again, and asked him if he wanted to join the team. And he was stoked. So we're going to do it a little differently too, because we talked about the good old days, but then also, you know, we were talking about some of the things that, you know, we didn't like in the good old days. It was almost all good stuff. And it was almost like we didn't even need to bring up a couple things, but I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to make sure that going forward, that I really want to hold everybody's best interest as number one. So I think going forward, there's three things: is mission, vision, and values. Like,
love it.
Yeah. Like the vision is the thing that like me, I need to cast. I need to cast a strong vision for the team, for the agency, where the agency is going.
They got to believe.
Yeah. And then I think we need the mission. Like what is our mission every single day that we're trying to do? You know, as to get to that end goal, that Super Bowl goal, that vision, what are we doing every single day? What is our mission when we get into the agency, and helping people and everything else? And then values. And then I think the values part is the most important when it comes to getting new team members on board. And, when it comes to any personality traits, because if you have a strong, set of values, and we know those values and we talk about the values regularly, then it helps to sort out the people that have other values, right? It becomes really clear because it divides. It like if somebody starts doing something that's the opposite of one of your values, that person, it's not cool. And I want the team to like let that person know that that's not cool and have some sort of ground where they can say, hey, what about, you know, this value? What about, you know, that, and you have used that phrase. What about that? What about, you know, team is blah, blah, blah. And then like, oh, like then they have a way that they can communicate with each other to hold each other accountable, where it's not just, hey, dude, what you're doing is not cool, you know?
Yeah. Rules are important.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with a bunch of salespeople, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you're dealing with some special people that have a lot of emotion and a lot of energy. If they're good, right? If they're going to get you there, then they need to have a lot of energy and a lot of, and likely a lot of emotion, right? And empathy. So there's a lot of that happening. And they're quick thinking. And, you know, so we definitely need to put those rules in place. Like without the rules, it can get sideways quick. And I think everybody on here has had that situation.
Yeah, good sales reps, we always talk about are solution oriented. Just make sure the solution's appropriate.
Right. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
We have some unique solutions. Mm-hmm.
So Craig had quite a year last year.
I did.
You started off last year.
Yeah.
Horribly.
Yeah. It was rough. And so it was, I was kind of in that place where like you were forced into that place. I guess I was somewhat forced. I probably by not being as involved allowed it to happen, right? What happened when the team left. So, but my whole team left. So I went from a 200K month to hardly anything. And then it was like, here we go. The starting over is really hard. And I probably got angry. I don't remember it, but I definitely would have got angry. So it was, you know, anger. And then I went through all the stages and then, well, there's only one thing to do, right? But that was actually a catalyst for getting all the hiring stuff in place, like to really get that airtight. And I remember us talking a lot about the higher, like, I mean, George, you're instrumental in it too. You gave me a ton of great insights into that. But like the whole idea is it's very similar to the offense, right? It's very similar to leads. Like you need a funnel. And that was why it was always a struggle to get people, right? And luckily that team that left, I mean, before they left, it had been the same team since I opened my other location. Like nobody left from the day that we opened, or well, 2 weeks after we opened. So yeah, like that was tough, but it created the fire that made it be documented and made the process and we have to follow it this way. And not being at the office when it happened, I guess that's an important point, because I was at Cabo, not Cabo, I was at Cancun. And so like having that, like having the thing to be able to go over with my ops manager and him to execute, I mean, that's huge, right? Because I know in the past I'd had to leave. Like I left a trip one time when some people left because I was like, emergency, I need to leave. And that didn't, you know, that's not good for the family. That's not good for anything.
Yeah. And you had health issues last year. You had family issues.
Yeah, my dad passed away. I don't know. I had this weird freak thing, ended up in the hospital. I mean, it was just wild. It was a really, really rough year.
It was a crazy year. Yeah.
But I also traveled a lot too. I mean, I was gone probably 4 months of travel. Like I went to Portugal. I went to, you know, wherever. I went to a lot of places. It was fun.
Yeah, you hit the reset button.
Costa Rica. Yeah.
It was crazy that you were able to get the team back together. And let's be honest, your ops manager did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did an awesome job.
It from a lot of the information aggregated from so many different people. Like it was just, you know, like all we've done is taken the obvious and kind of put it so that it's easy to follow.
Now
and you do that in your agency, it works.
I've known you for a while. So he seems very engaged. Like was he more engaged over the last year than he was?
Yeah.
Like he seems very like pumped. Okay, put it this way. He seems very excited about what he's doing. How did he become so excited about what he's doing?
I think I got fortunate because you know how much I love doing the accountability. Like I love them to be accountable, but I don't necessarily like to keep doing it all the time. And so that's where when I started pulling back, where I'm not doing as much in the agency, I was having him start to do that part, and I would do it with, we'd do it together. Then I started not doing as much, and it was sort of that, you know, phase out of it. Uh-huh. And then last year I was pretty checked out for the whole year and you know, like forced checkout. And so it worked. And I think that because the systems were in place, because all that time had been spent, right? And he was around for the building. So he saw a lot of it as it iterated and understood it too. But I had said, you know, hey, you're going to be running a lot of this at one point, you know. So I'd prepped him, and he always said, yeah, well, I'll do whatever, you know, like, because he was grateful, and he still says it. He, you know, when he came to me, he didn't have experience in this business, and he really hadn't had any other jobs in the US. Like, he's from England, and he had a job in at a prison, you know, like he was managing the ladies at the prison. So, but, you know, totally different. I guess the management experience, that was, I liked that. And I thought, okay, that's going to be something of value. He wanted to sell when I did the interview, and I thought the English accent was going to crush it. And it took a while because he's not a sales guy, but he's taken that on. Like, he's doing things because of the things that we've done, like the speeches, because of the, I mean, he listens to the podcast, which is so crazy. I mean, he's probably, hi Jazz, you know, but it's interesting, but he takes it on. And a lot of the things that we're talking about, I come in the morning, I usually get here at 5 or 6, and I come in and go in the thing and look at what's on the board. And a lot of what he's written up there are the things that we're talking about, which is freaking awesome. You know, it's like, wow, man, he's doing it. Like, he's executing the things, and it works, you know, and we went to where it can get as bad as it is, where everybody's gone. I mean, nothing, you know, too, right? Jason, like, and George, you haven't had like a big fall, but when you do 250 in 1 month and the next month it's 50, it's like, take the gun out of your mouth quick, right? Because it sucks. And the only thing you can do is go, well, at least we know the plays, right? Like, it's not guessing anymore. Before, like, literally for 8 years, dude, I mean, I could sell and I could teach people how to sell all day long, but the mechanism to get the people in to quote, because that's the big miss, is nobody realizes you got to quote, you have to quote 10 households. Like, I mean, ain't nobody quoting 10 households if there isn't a plan for that, right? Like, that's not going to happen. I mean, the most my people ever quoted before we were really sales, you know, sales forward, is that right? Sales, yeah. You know, just yeah. Thinking, yeah, consistently focused on that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
did it there. Wrap that up.
That's all that needs to be said about that.
And I'll just drop the mic.